Hallelujah.
A few minutes longer and the Holy Ghost would have preached my message. People have been dancing all around this thing all weekend long. It's been a wonderful time. Friday, this morning, I'm sure last night I wasn't here, but I just appreciate so much the presence of God. Appreciate it so much. You know, usually when I come here, I speak to you about battles and armor and soldiers and tactics and weapons, and you hear expressions like take the high ground and give them the cold steel and advance by fire and maneuver and all that sort of thing. Well, I'd like to continue in that vein. The war is still going on. But tonight I want to talk about the most devastating weapon in the Christian's arsenal, the ultimate weapon that will utterly, finally, completely destroy the enemy of our soul. The weapon is love. Will you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I'm so appreciative, oh God, of the way you've moved upon us this week, Lord. I'm appreciative of your presence here right now, oh God. Appreciate the love you've shown us, oh God. Be with us now, Lord, in a mighty way, Lord. Anoint this message, Father. Help us, Father. We lean upon you and we depend upon you, Lord. We need you, Father. Touch each heart, oh God. Use us, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you heard the expression, I'm a lover, not a fighter. It was fairly popular a few years ago when people were being drafted, and even after they got drafted, when they were apt to be assigned to some type of hazardous duty, it usually came out that they were lovers, not fighters. But you know, in the kingdom of God, a lover is a fighter. And I think, brothers and sisters, it's high time that we begin to just haul off and love each other. Just love each other. We do now. We do. We love each other. But I think perhaps in a measure. Not to the full extent that we should. As a matter of fact, I think probably most of us are mud crawlers in this area. You remember Don's analogy of the mud crawler? I used to do a lot of mud crawling when I was a boy. And I did it the same way he did. I wanted people to think I was swimming. But you know, the only difference between crawling in the mud and swimming is the fact that you're bound to the earth by your fingertips. The motions you go through, kicking your feet and the movement of your arms, is precisely the same motions you go through when you swim. So I think it's time we pushed off from the earth out into the swimming depth in this area of love one to another. Now, the title of this message, the title I've given it is Look for Love. And I'm not going to go into a discussion of the Greek words for love. We pretty much know about those things. And I think what we need to do is get to the doing of it. It's a serious matter, love, isn't it? Love among the brethren. Love is the reason for being of this whole creation, you and I, everything. Love is a requirement for being in the bride of Christ, isn't it? Love for each other I'm talking about. Of course, love for God, too. Foremost, first and foremost, love for God. Now, our pastor is calling us right at the moment to a new love life in Jesus. And he's leading us there on our Thursday night prayer meetings. But you know, he's called us to this deeper love life before, hasn't he? Not everyone answered at that time. Of those who did, some made great progress. Some gave up too soon. But all were hindered in entering into this new love life with Jesus. Even those who succeeded were hindered in it, were they not? By the enemy of their soul? Yes, yes, perhaps. Maybe, however, we give him too much credit in that area. By self? More likely, I think. More likely, by self. Perhaps, yeah, I'm sure most of you have heard the saying that's credited to a famous general, I'm not sure which one, we have met the enemy and he is ours. And more famous even than that paraphrase in a comic strip some years ago said, we have met the enemy and he is us. And that's true in many ways, many ways. A lot of times we give Satan credit or blame, as you see fit to call it, for things that we have done or not done in ourselves. Perhaps the reason for this hindrance in entering into this new love life with Jesus is because our love life with each other was not quite as mature as it should be. Look for love. The world looks for love, don't they? Everywhere they look for love. You can hear about it in poems and songs and plays and movies. You can read about it in books and magazines, billboards, bumper stickers, bus cards, even in toothpaste ads. But without Jesus, what the world finds is Satan's counterfeit for love. Two of these, the only two I can think of at the moment, are sexual lust and self-love in some form or another. And both of these things are problems for the church. They're problems for God's people, and have been, of course, from the beginning. Now let's see if we can't agree on some things before we begin our search for love for each other tonight. First of all, let's agree that we're looking for God's love for each other, not man's. God's love. We want to love each other as God would have us do. Second, that we will never abandon the search. Love is eternal. As Russell McKenzie taught us this morning, some of these other things will pass away, but love never faileth. Love is eternal. We will never abandon the search. And three, during this search for love for each other, we are going to be more interested in loving than being loved. Okay, let's begin. Now, where do we start looking? The world looks everywhere, don't they? All right? Let's us look everywhere for love. Let's take the first direction as upward. Let's look upward for love. That's a good place to start, isn't it? That's where Jesus is, and he is love. Now, what we find when we look upward for love is we're going to find direction for love. We're going to find a command to love. As a matter of fact, we're going to find a whole set of commandments that equal love, all 10 of them. The whole law was for love. First part to show us how to love God, the second to show us how to love each other, show them how to love each other. Let's turn, if you will, please, to Romans chapter 13. We'll read about how this law is for love, is love. Romans 13, beginning at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Do owe him that, you see. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that whole law is love. Also, as we look upward for love, we find an example of love, the example of love, do we not? We find the great love that caused Jesus to give himself on that cross for all, so that all may freely come Whosoever will may come, because love drove him to that cross and kept him there. When he had the power just by a word to bring all the help he needed, more assistance than the world had ever seen and ever will see, to bring him down from that cross and shatter those people who put him there, it was love that restrained him at that time. Now, you mean to say this is the kind of love we are to have for each other? That kind? Yes, that kind. Exactly that kind. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John knew about love. He wrote a lot about it. He was disciple Jesus loved, so he must have known a lot about it. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you," Jesus said. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." We need to get to that place. Now let's go back for a minute to the whole law and notice that Jesus at one place in Luke chapter 10 joined the love for neighbor to the love for God. Luke 10, and let's see, we'll begin, let's begin at verse 25. For this lawyer, those were always given the Lord to what they thought was a little bit of a problem, but he had no problem with it at all. Verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Now, adding, "and thy neighbor as thyself," onto the end of that sounds almost like an afterthought, doesn't it? But it's not an afterthought. What he did there was place love for neighbor, love for each other, for our brothers and sisters, for the body of Christ, on the same plane as our love for God. As a matter of fact, it is by that which we measure our love for God, is it not? He said so. So having looked up for love and found our direction, our commandment to love each other and our example, let's now look down. Look down for love. It's the direction in which Jesus' love took him, to the grave, to hell. And it's the direction that we must take, to love as he loved. Flesh goes down so the spirit may rise. Self goes down so that brother and sister can be more important. We go down on our knees before God in humility, in loving humility. And before the brethren also, John the Baptist said, "I decrease that he might increase." And we must do the same. Man goes down and Jesus comes up. We look down for love. Well, we've looked downward, looked upward. Now let's look inward. Look inside for love. Strange direction to look in for love? No, Jesus is there too. However, we, like they in the world, are perhaps to find just a tad of self-love if we look real carefully in there, aren't we? Conditional love. Shortcomings are acceptable here when we look inward for love. Self-love hinders the flow of love in the body of Christ. It becomes one who allows himself to esteem himself more highly than he ought becomes a receptacle of love only. a receiver of love, incoming love, a great reservoir of love with the outlet valve closed. Water, wine, and oil run in great quantities. The level rises inside. Nothing runs out. Well, not quite nothing runs out. There are things that float to the top of that oil and sink to the bottom of that water and the wine that sometimes run out, don't they? Vinegar, pollutants, and creepy crawlies sometimes run out, don't they? Criticism, negativeness, backbiting, and complaints of no love, even, don't they? The real problem is pride in self-love, is it not? The real complaint is, I am not loved as much as I love me. Now, as we look inward also, it is here that Christian character is formed, inside each one of us. That's where Jesus is. He dwells there. His spirit is within. And we need to let him out. We need to show him to the world. It is here, within, as we look within, that judgment begins. We judge ourselves. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. This tabernacle, this tent, is the house of the Lord. Shaking begins there. And all the pollutants and vinegar and creepy crawlies get shaken out. Changed by the spirit that's within, if the heart is right, as we look inward for love. Now, there's some things to do here as we look inward. Some things that make love easy. One thing we can do as we look inward for love is make our yea, yea and our nay, nay, can we not? Another thing we can do is to be punctual, to be on time for meetings, for anything that's agreed upon between two people to happen at a certain time, both people ought to be there at that time. Or a little before. I have never really been able to understand what the problem is with getting someplace a little before the appointed time. No one seems to mind getting there a little after, but there seems to be some kind of hang-up about arriving early. You know, you drive around the block or, adopt some sort of subterfuge to avoid being early. But we need to be on time. We need to be punctual. Also, we need to return the things we borrow. Or better than that, don't borrow. Well, what do I do then when I need something I don't have and my brother has it and he's not using it? Well, you could go rent it someplace. Well, that costs money. Well, it costs your brother money to loan you whatever it is you borrow from him, too. Two things happen in a borrowing situation. The rightful owner is deprived of the use and benefit of his property while it's in the hands of another, even though he agreed to put it there. And when he gets it back, whatever it is, its value is reduced. Another thing we can do as we look inward for love and to make love easy is to pay what we owe. Another is when we go for counsel to follow the counsel. That should be a pretty easy matter. There's a sort of admission that you're in trouble when you come for counsel. There should be no problem at all about following the counsel you're given. None. Another thing we can do is just begin to obey Jesus, the pastor, the oversight. Just simply obey. We can begin to pray as we've been asked to do. Pray about all these things. And we need to seriously consider each one of us right now and always consider others more important than we are. Brothers and sisters are more important than we are. Our brother and sister's time is more important than our time. Our brother's or our sister's property is more important than our property. Our brother or our sister's money is more important than our money. Our brother or our sister's problem is more important than our problem. If we can't love others yet, perhaps we can become something which others can love. In short, if you can't contribute to the solution, don't become part of the problem. Well, now that we've looked upward, downward, and inward, we can finally look outward for love. That's where the love we're talking about now finds expression, outward to our brothers and sisters. Now, here too, we'll find what the world calls love, if we're not careful. We'll find self-love, which is love in others as a reflection of self. What we construe as love in others is praise of self. We say that someone thinks highly of us, therefore we love them. Conditional love. The world loves lovability. Conditional love. And says, I'll set the standard of lovability. This conditional love is love, of course, that has certain conditions attached to it. If, you know, A, B, C, D, and E apply, then I will love you. This conditional love, to a great extent, is what caused the so-called generation gap not too long ago. Most of us were involved in that. We aren't anymore, praise the Lord. I know it did between my son and I. I began to withhold my love from him as his hair grew longer. As his time away from home grew longer and more frequent, I began to withhold my love. I have never yet asked him to forgive me for that, and I do now. Because love, God's love, has no conditions. It's just there. God's people, too, can begin to apply conditions in love for each other. If we're not careful, we need to watch this thing. We need to watch over it. It's a beautiful, tender thing, and it's a serious matter, as we've discovered. Some say to love each other means let's all get together and hate the same person, place, or thing. That means we love each other. Others would say to love each other means to allow license to do what I please. Now, this last is a terrible distortion of love. The opposite is true. Let's look at Romans 13 again. Romans 13:10, just the first part of the verse, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Worketh no ill to his neighbor. Now, is the allowance of undisciplined, careless, thoughtless, even lawless action harmful? Yes, it certainly is. It certainly works ill. I just yesterday read an article in one of the local papers about a 16-year-old boy, thoroughly incorrigible, beat up his parents. They wouldn't have him in the house anymore. The judge in juvenile court discovered that no juvenile authority in the state would have anything to do with him. He's just too violent, too rebellious, incorrigible. The judge refused to consider him as an adult because he said there's no adult institution in the state that's going to do him any good. They didn't know what to do with this boy, but in the context of that article, it said he was babied by his parents as a child. He's still a child. But they allowed him to behave in this licentious manner and worked ill in his life. So please, if someone comes to you in a matter of correction, advice, take a few points east or west on the rudder, please don't construe that there's any loss of love in that. The opposite is true. It's the very heart of God that's driving that one in authority to come to you and tell you, look, this is a good idea. This is what the Lord would have you do. This is what we require you to do. All right, so God commands to love as He loves. Now how in the world can we love something that's unlovable? Well, Friday night, Earl helped us with that because he pointed out that only Jesus can do that, didn't he? Now, so what do? Ignore the faults we see in our brothers and sisters? I don't think we can. I don't think we can do that. Well, then what we're going to have to do is just love them anyway. Faults and all. Knock knees, pigeon toes, bad breath, everything. Just haul off and love them. Now look at how you feel toward an infant child, for instance. I happen to have one very near and dear to me at the moment. And that little fella doesn't do very much. And much of what he does causes problems. And you know, it's impossible not to love that little fellow with everything that's in you, in spite of all that. Well, yeah, but how about those who are mature now, see, who are supposed to know better than to do all those baby things? Well, we have to love them too. God does. And we have to too. This is not an option we have. We have to get on with it, brothers and sisters. We have to begin to do this thing. So how do we do that? We see all these faults. We can't ignore them. They're there. It would be dishonest to act as if they weren't there. How? We have to submit to the Spirit of Christ within us and let Him love them in us and through us, right? Well, all right, how do you do that? I've been trying. We've been talking about submitting here and submitting there. How in the world do you do that? How do you submit? Well, everybody in this room is an expert in submission. An expert in submission. We've been doing it all our life. But to who? So, what we need to do then is stop a little bit, maybe, do some thinking, apply some wisdom here. Don't move so fast. If you move fast, you're probably moving in the flesh for a while anyway. So let's stop like Moses did on the shore of the Red Sea, stand still, and think a bit. And maybe ask the question, now, is this word I'm going to speak or this action I'm going to take, is this of the Spirit or of the flesh? I believe that those who are born again, filled with the Spirit, will invariably choose the direction of the Spirit. If they pause and don't move quickly, habitually, and decide to whom you will submit in this circumstance. So what I'd like for us to do is to begin to think about this thing. Bring our mind into this thing and begin to think along the lines of loving each other. Now, let's face it. There are some right now whom we love more than others, whom we love better than others. There are some whom we esteem less than others. So what we need to do is begin to think about those whom we esteem less than others and think, why? Why do we do that? Perhaps we don't know them as well. I'm sure that's true. Or maybe it's because we know them too well. Maybe it's because something we found when we looked inward something in us. Perhaps we're applying to some conditions to our love affair with our brother. Suppose, for instance, we're saying, as soon as he gets perfect, I'll love him. God didn't do that. He didn't do that to us. We've got to decide just to haul off and love each other. Now let me leave you with a scripture in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Brother Stan Adding brought this in chapel the other morning. Now, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. So, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time to get going on this, do we? Put aside this hindrance to our love affair with Jesus. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And we've been called to prayer again, have we not? And above all things have fervent, boiling, bubbling, hot charity, love among yourselves. For love, that love, cover the multitude of sins. Amen.